And I will talk about recent results on systems with gravitational and scalar fields which are non-minimally coupled. And for such systems, we were able to show strong results about their asymptotic safety, meaning that the normalization group low is or no has to approach an ultraviolet fixed point, and that the ultraviolet critical surface has finite dimension. And I will show you that such theories will admit a fixed point with vanishing matter interactions in the approximation that I will show you. Then I will show you also that there exists then certain recursive relations among the critical exponents which allow us to show that those considered theories have a five-dimensional ultraviolet critical surface. So to just tell you in which framework we are working, of course, we are using, as most other plots showed you before, this famous excited normalization group equation. And what we are doing with that is that, well, we start with this form of scale-dependent action, which relies on some expansion in operator basis, operators which carry all the field dependence times some coupling constants which carry all the scale dependence. Those coupling constants can be measured in terms of my scale. So this gives some dimensionless numbers, which renormalization group flow can be determined from that beta from that exact flow equation to get the beta function. And there was beta functions vanish. You have the fixed point, and then we calculate the stability matrix as the linearization about the fixed point determines its eigenvalues, and the number of negative eigenvalues or positive critical exponents will give the dimension of the ultraviolet critical surface, the number of parameters that, or three parameters that our theory will have. So let me shortly summarize what had been done in pure gravity. So as you all heard in previous talks, at the beginning, the cosmological constant term, linear scalar curvature, and also scalar curvature squared had been included. A fixed point was found, but the dimension of the ultraviolet critical surface was as big as the number of couplings that were included. Then, in the work performed by Alessandro Godello, Roberto Carcacci, and me, we included higher powers of scalar curvature into the action. In fact, up to 8th power of curvature, and found that still the ultraviolet critical surface remained three-dimensional. However, those calculations relied on a heat coil expansion on a de Sitter background, and therefore were not able to distinguish different couplings of higher curvature invariance. On such a background, all curvature invariance of a certain degree become scalar curvature of some power, just some power of Ricci scalar. So those couplings are in fact a mixture of several couplings, but of course this tells you that at least many of those couplings which are here combined are really won't give you relevant directions. So some progress to distinguish those couplings has been obtained, as Frank explained in his talk, by using a different heat coil expansion around an Einstein space background, so that they were able to distinguish R squared and Y squared terms. And additionally, with those two couplings, so was four coupling space, and they also found a three-dimensional ultraviolet critical surface. But of course, it will be important to include also matter plots. And what was the status there? They said, well, scalar Dirac and Maxwell matter fields have been coupled minimally to gravity. And, well, at least for a normal field contentious, you have in the standard model, so you find that this does not modify the result, so you will end up with the same kind of ultra-critical surface. Then also the gravitational corrections to Yukawa and Young-Mills couplings have been calculated on flat background, was worked by Oman Sanuso and Robert Bakachi, and the group of Martin Walter with Jan-Erik Daum and Ulrich Haas is also here. And non-minimally coupled scalar fields, which we call scalar tensor theory, had been included several years ago by Daniele Parmini and Roberto Bertacci, including for the gravitational part only the Einstein-Hilbert terms, the cosmological constant, and the Ricci scalar. Those results have been extended by two works, which you could find this week on the archive. The first by Garofna Rein and Roberto Bertacci extends and puts those results on a stronger basis. So they use, again, Einstein-Hilbert and scalar fields non-minimally coupled. And the second paper by Garofna Rein and B has considered the F of R theory that we have previously considered for pure gravity enhanced by scalar field interactions. So this is the type of action that we are considering in this paper. So the fundamental ingredient here is some term which depends on scalar field phi squared and the Ricci scalar. And then this is supplemented by some suitable gauge fixing and ghost term. So this functional can be expanded in powers of Ricci scalar. And the difference to the pure gravity case is that you have here now some kind of potential term, which is a function of phi squared. So in each of the curvature, in front of each of the curvature terms, you have such a potential term. This action we expand around a spherical background. So this is the same technique that we used in the previous calculations. And the potential around, we demand only to be analytic and Taylor expandable around phi squared equal to zero. So for several points which I will show you, this can be kept generic. Let me have you look at the better function that you can obtain with such an ansatz.
Excuse me?
So,
do you take a wave function renormalization into account for the scalar field? Do you take a wave function renormalization into account for the scalar
field? No. Okay. So, for example, for a theory, which is basically phi 4 theory, plus the same, plus linear curvature terms with the same numbers of phi terms included, you can calculate with the functional flow equation the Wetter function, for example, of this coupling. And then what you find is that, well, the first term is always this term which comes from the canonical dimension of the coupling. This term you highlighted in red also is the term that we know from the 1-year calculations of the phi 4 theory on in flat space. This term here is some kind of threshold function So this is the mass term. And additionally, you find also frequently such factors here in the denominators, which are the terms which are not containing any power of phi. So it's basically the cosmological constant and the Newton constant in some mixture. So this will give you factors like 1 minus 2 lambda, and well, in certain cases, you might be able to approximate by just 1. This is just to show you that without having a phase bond, that is what follows, you can use these beta functions also in an effective field theory approach. Of course, we continue with the fixed point analysis, and what we find is that this type of theories admits a fixed point where meta interactions can become weak. So there's a fixed point which we call the Gaussian meta fixed point, where all those generic potential terms become phi squared independent. So all the derivatives at phi squared equal to 0 vanish. And this can be shown to exist for arbitrary potential as long as we are restricting to a 1 loop level. But numerical calculations will show that it exists also beyond that level. And for a specific form of potential that we were using later calculations, so additionally to expanding in powers of Ricci scalar, you're also expanding in powers of phi squared. So this index of the cupping, it's our notation, the lower one counts the number of phi squared in the operator included, and the upper one, the number of scalar curvature included. And this Gaussian meta fixed point tells you that those couplings which include one or more powers of phi squared will approach 0, whereas the other couplings which don't contain any such power of phi squared can approach non-trivial values. So those couplings are the ones that we considered already in the previously pure gravity case.
Do you expect the same to happen with the anomalous dimension included? If you will include the anomalous dimension analysis after.
You mean the wave function?
Yes. Do you expect, for the scalar field, do you expect the same to happen?
I think so, because, well, the proof that that depends only on the functional form that you get for the interaction between the scalar degrees of the freedom that you have. So let us have a look at the stability matrix of the same example again, by four theory, plus by four theory for the linear curvature term. We find some fixed point, but now you see certain features of the stability matrix. So first becomes clock diagonal, and then you see that the blocks on the diagonal, and I described here a lot of digits to show you that this is really an exact relation, you see that numbers of the diagonal blocks are repeated here, and those on the diagonal here are just this plus 2, because this one, this was to this one, and so on. Yeah. So these differ just by 2. And also, this off-diagonal block is related to this one by a factor of 6, which maybe is not immediately transparent, but you can believe me. So this has, well, that will give you a recursive relation, which tells you that it has been 2 times 3, which comes on the next slide. But because those blocks are just shifted by the by 2 times the identity matrix, so also the eigenvalues of the complete matrix are the eigenvalues of this of clock only, and then the eigenvalues plus 2, and the imaginary part remains the same. So in fact, you can show also for a generic potential that the stability matrix will always have this block diagonal form at the distortion matter fixed point. So each of these blocks gives you the better function with of the operator with increasing numbers of pi squared included, derived with respect derived with respect to this to a coupling of the operator with increasing number of pi squared, and inside these blocks you have increasing number of scalar curvature in the operator for the corresponding operator of that coupling. And you find that, which you can again prove at one loop level, but which we will find as a numerical result to hold also beyond that, that those diagonal blocks are just shifted by p minus 2 times I times the identity matrix. So the eigenvalues of this complete matrix are just those of the first block, which gives you a set of eigenvalues, which as many eigenvalues of as powers of scalar curvature that you are including. And then the eigenvalues of this block are just the one of the first plus d minus 2. The one of this block are just the one of the first plus 2 times d minus 2, and so on. And you find this recursive relation also for the orthogonal blocks of that form. So this result is not completely surprising. That's a physical reason, because the matter couplings, as I told you, those couplings of the terms including some power of phi are vanishing at this Higgs point. So the spacing among those eigenvalues is just as the one as at the Gaussian fixed point where all couplings vanish. So here you have a set of couplings which do not vanish at this fixed point, and others which do vanish. And this will result in a direction which is always the same for all these matter couplings. And this has an important consequence, because as you see, this shifting is positive. So if you start with some negative eigenvalue, you will sooner or later arrive at a positive eigenvalue as soon as you include operators with more and more powers of phi squared. So you can basically calculate just the properties of this block and the eigenvalues of this block, and then you know all the other eigenvalues. So, and this block corresponds obviously to the minimally coupled scalar theory without the inclusion of any operators containing phi. So, and so that is what we did. So we calculated the fixed points of the theory, which is minimally covered, for including increasing numbers of powers of Ricci scalar up to 8 again. So and calculate the eigenvalues. I displayed that here graphically, but what you probably should say first to give you again the complex conjugate pair that you know from the other calculations, and also the one of the R4 and R5 term are complex conjugate pair as soon as you include sort of that. And so what you find is here's is like the fixed point position times 1,000. So you see that the values of the zero order coupling, so basically related to the cosmological constant and the Newton constant, are becoming very stable. So these values seem to diverge also one from the R squared coupling, and where the others seems also to improve. And these are the eigenvalues. So our recursive relation among the eigenvalues tells you that you have just to look which real parts of eigenvalues. Now, here I'm talking about the critical exponents, which are the minus the eigenvalues. So this way, why we have to look at those which are larger than 2. And there are only, in fact, the ones of the which result from including the cosmological constant and the Ricci scalar term. And all the others gave you only critical exponents which were smaller than 2 or even negative. So before, you had 3 positive critical exponents, so 3 also had attractive directions, of which 2 are beyond this line of 2. So it means if you include an operator like phi squared and phi squared r, the eigenvalues which you or the critical exponents that you obtain after inclusion of those operators will still be positive, but any other phi squared term or also higher powers of phi squared that you drive in front of some Ricci scalar will always end up with some critical exponent which is negative. So this will not enhance the dimension of the Euler-Chauvel critical surface. So altogether, in the pure parity case, or in the minimally coupled theory, the Euler-Chauvel critical surface was three-dimensional. And now, if you go to the non-minimally coupled one, it will be five-dimensional. But there will now be further relevant directions. So I can come to my summary. So we found that for the non-minimally coupled scalar tensor theory, a non-Gaussian fixed point exists where the scalar field interactions vanish at high energies. So this could be proven at one loop, and our numerical results tell us that that it does also exist beyond that order, at least up to the inclusion of R to the 8 terms. The gravitational reactions to the critical exponents of all the matter couplings are always the same. And for that reason, we were able to determine the dimension of the Euler-Chauvel critical surface for quite complicated non-minimally coupled theory from a minimally coupled theory. And so we find that the Euler-Chauvel critical surface remains also for this kind of theory finite dimensional. Thank you.
Thank you. So, questions?
Do you have any idea what would happen if you couple the scalar dilaton like e to the 2 phi times r?
E to the 2 phi. Well, I mean, so as I said, the potential form is quite generic. However, you have to be the condition that we are imposing is that you are able to expand around phi squared equal to zero. Mm-hmm. And
but this has a constant term and then pi to 2n expansion. If you expand the e to the 2 phi.
Yeah, but what? The important that that class of way.
Questions? So I have a question. So imagine you crank up the 5-4 coupling and follow the flow towards the ultraviolet, then you would expect above a certain critical value of the 5-4 coupling, you would run still in the, say, Landau hole in the lake. So can you compute this critical coupling that would need to phase diagram into a kind of maximal 5-4 theory allowed by the gravitational interaction?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, obviously you finally are able to get to a fixed point. So if you are really able to reach this point, I think you will have such kind of problem.
So you're saying the scalar couplings are always trapped by the Gaussian at the fixed point, or is there?
I mean,
it's a singular clause.
Well, I mean, so of course, we showed that this fixed point exists as a possibility, the proof is not that we have to take this fixed point exists and probably you would have to study in further numerical calculations if this fixed point is stringently connected to the Gaussian fixed point. So, but if you do so, then you find probably good trajectories.
No further questions? And then let's thank Mr. Schaefer. The last.